Fred.
Venice Diary.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Global Critics Venice Voice. I'm Rita Di Santo and you are listening to Fred Film Radio directly from the red carpet of the Venice Film Festival. Every day we have this lovely chat with my fellow colleagues from around the world. And today we are from Germany.
Daniel Kotenschulte, Frankfurter Rundschau newspaper.
And from Switzerland.
Max Borg, The Film Verdict.
And from the UK, a big welcome back to...
Brian Viner from the Daily Mail.
Thank you. So we are going to talk first about the moving competition that we saw today, House of Dynamite by Catherine Bigelow. Did I pronounce correctly, Brian?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, yeah. Good. It's a political thriller directed by the wife. Is they still together?
No,
Oh my God!
Oh, James Cameron. No, that was long ago.
Separated for years. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I don't
you're
that.
You're about 20 years out of date. Recently.
Oh my God! Okay, so they're not together anymore. So the movie follows the U.S. government's response to an unexpected nuclear missile that is launched at the United States. In a few minutes, will hit Chicago, and. Director of the Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty, visceral look of this geopolitical dynamic brings this story in the screen, in the cinema, and here in competition in Venice.
Yeah, I was amazed that she draws the focus on a subject that has hardly been mentioned in our recent discussions on weapons and how we need them, and that's nuclear power and how much we have in the arsenals of the world. You know, and so this is a very important political point that we do not forget about the threat that's left in the archives of the military of the world. And so, the story itself actually is a repetition of a film from 1964, Failsafe, directed by Sidney Lumet. And in that film, it was the Americans who had launched by mistake a missile towards Russia and had to sacrifice one of their own cities just to keep peace alive, if you can call it peace. So she updated that story in a thriller that really, really is thrilling, in my opinion, by dividing the story into chapters from different perspectives of the protagonists, or not actually perspectives, but you see different protagonists, like the president, like his staff, in these sections. So the 15 minutes are repeated several times, making the film even more tensionous and
I have to say, it's an amazing reconstruction of what's happening every single day in the U.S. I know I've been to the press conference with, I had the pleasure to meet the director and the producer, and it's amazing. They do this every single day. So they reconstruct everything in quite good details. And we have an incredible cast.
Yeah, it's terrific. I completely agree with all of that. I think Catherine Bigelow was the first woman to win a Best Director Oscar for The Hurt Locker in 2008, 2009. Only one other woman has won Best Director Oscar, so there are only two of them. And I think she'll be the first to win, or could well be the first to win twice, because I think it's that good. I think it's really very pertinent, as you say, incredibly relevant and terrifying, actually. Film made very cleverly, written by a guy called Noah Oppenheim, who used to be the president of NBC News, I think, or one of the big news networks. So he's obviously talked to White House staffers, and they've got a real sort of insight into what might happen in a circumstance like that. I thought it was very clever, very well done, genuinely tense, and altogether terrifying.
When I left the screen, I was thinking, oh my God, this is another movie that fits a bit of the American paranoia. But then I felt, it's not paranoia, it's reality.
It's a real fear, yes.
Yeah, no, it's very much a film in tune with what is going on today. It feels a bit like back in the 90s, early 2000s, we had a TV show called The West Wing, which, while more idealistic, also tried to point out the behind the scenes of what was really going on in America. And this does a similar thing with the president and his staff and the multiple points of view, but it's it feels much more real than The West Wing, even though the president is fictional and the scenario is unfortunately not. Like, this is something that could very easily happen. And it's also kind of funny to me, going back to the cast, it was funny to see Idris Elba playing the US president for the second time this year, but in a very different context compared to Heads of State, which was an action comedy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
but it's incredible.
He's
also
good. He's rather convincing, isn't he? Yeah.
The balance of the characters, because I like Catherine Bigelow, because she so wonderfully put so many female characters with a very good, very well written, with an interesting part, and the actress are really, really good. Even in a small part, even the Korean advisor that she's running on the with her son. I mean, it's very short. I mean, we have like almost 10 minutes with her, but she's brilliant to change and to understand what's going on with the holiday. It's so human. No? Everybody's on holiday and can happen anywhere, anytime, something, a disaster. And her reaction is so believable.
Yeah. I think what's significant about this film is that Catherine Bigelow doesn't talk down to her audience. She respects her audience. So she fills it with, there's so many abbreviations, as NVC and BTS and GRT, and, you know, which is how they would speak, because they all know what they're talking about and we don't. But nobody bothers to explain that to us, really, and I think that's an asset, actually. I think it's good. There's no expository dialogue. It's just you can really believe that is exactly what would happen in a circumstance like this.
At the same time, it's a very modern film in a classic way. It's a montage film in the Eisenstein-Griffith tradition. She goes back to that style, and she's even innovative in their traditional way of making American movies. Mm. I think that's amazing.
So I left the screening room at around probably 10:35, something like that. I had my coffee, and then I received a text message. I said, oh my God, what's the text message about? And the text message, believe me, is today. Can you read, Brian? It's today. Today, 11:43 a.m.
Wow, yeah.
The text message says, government emergency alert test, 7 September, 3 p.m. If your phone's compatible, you'll hear a siren and feel it vibrate. No action is needed.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Like art imitating life, or life imitating art, yeah. It's anyway, so I think it's a completely excellent film. I'm sure it will be in contention for lots of awards as soon as the season starts.
Okay, we have this game. At the end of every discussion, every single movie, thumbs up or thumbs down for Catherine Bigelow?
Firmly up.
Wow,
all the way up.
That's wonderful. So the other movie that we saw is Ozon, Françoise Ozon, The Stranger, and it's an adaptation of Camus about a French man accused of killing an Arab. It's all in black and white. And
Yeah, I was not impressed, frankly. I mean, the movie is very handsomely shot. It looks impeccable. The production value is amazing. But, I mean, this is a me thing. I have a problem with François Ozon whenever he takes himself too seriously. I prefer his more lighthearted stuff. And this one really felt like it was too full of itself.
Well, I enjoyed it, if you can say that. I mean, he makes so many films that I don't like every one of them. But this film, in my opinion, is a kind of missing link in film history, because there is one film after the novel by Visconti, which is a colorful film that really didn't fit the style of the book. And now he makes a film in a really existentialistic cinematic style, closer to Bresson, or maybe the early Melville. So it's a film that looks like it could have been made in the late 40s. And I think that's the beautiful way to touch the story, which is actually also politically relevant, because actually it is about a man who's getting convicted rather for not crying at his mother's funeral than for killing an Arab.
It's really conventional to me. I have to say, maybe because it's day six of the festival, I have to be honest, sometimes up to critics I heard, and not the only one, I fell asleep. I'm glad somebody gave me, moved next to me after 10 minutes. I didn't miss much, but I was like, I don't know, but I love Camus. I saw other movies about him, I didn't see that this is like should have been something more visceral, more like Camus style. And it's lots of talking. Then what is incredible, he doesn't talk for 2 hours. He doesn't say a single word. And the end, he has this scene that is unfortunately it's not very well acted. It's not an honest look to this drama, because you have this resolution in one with the priest, with this cry. So the priest can be, but no preparation before. So after be a silent man of no words, and he start to argue and want to kill the priest. So I don't know, I didn't really like, and I didn't like the female characters. I didn't like this poor girl. I didn't like the, nobody said anything about this other woman that is a prostitute, that has been accused to be a prostitute. I didn't like how he looks at the Arabs. I like the aesthetic a lot, and it's very well shot. I don't know, I expected something make me feel more the story, the drama. Okay, thumbs up, thumbs down. Oh, two thumbs down and one up and one wobbly.
I don't know, because I didn't say, I was too busy writing my review of House of Dynamite, so I wasn't able to see it. But I remember studying the book at school, so I was quite interested to see it. From what you say, though, I won't be rushing to it, but we'll see.
Okay, so now let's talk about something in auto competition. Has anybody have seen Gus Van Sant, that is auto competition?
Yeah, I've seen that film yesterday. It's not one of those highly artistic Gus Van Sant films that we've seen here at the festival. And other festivals, it's a rather conventional historical film that is set in the 70s. It's a thriller. A bit, like Taxi Driver from its pace and style, about a man who commits a crime for ethical reasons. And unlike Taxi Driver, who has no ethical reasons, but it looks like Taxi Driver in a way because of the 1970s setting. It's a highly enjoyable film, but it's not a masterpiece in terms of artistic quality, in my opinion.
Yeah, you mentioned Taxi Driver. I was thinking more of Sidney Lumet's Dog Day Afternoon, especially because Al Pacino, who played the lead in that film, has a smaller part in this one. And there is a bit of a robbery element there as well, the hostage situation and all of that. And I really enjoyed it as well. Like, Van Sant is a bit like Ozon to me in that he has two filmmaking modes, and I tend to like him a bit more when he's less serious. And this one is more of, it's a caper, it's a romp, it's very enjoyable. So I really responded to it. And Bill Skarsgård, who plays the lead, is fantastic yet again.
Yeah, we have another French movie. Anyway, it's out of competition, but Van Sant, thumbs up, thumbs down. Oh, wow, up. Mm-hmm. So I will go and see it. So we have a lot of French movie. We've seen Donzelli, and then we've seen Assayas.
Which I liked. I liked very much. It reminded me of, well, it's similar. It covers similar ground to Liminoff, the ballad. Did you see that with Ben Whishaw? I think it was in Cannes maybe last year. I thought it was great. I thought it gave a lot of insight into, got Jude Law playing Vladimir Putin, which quite convincingly, actually, I thought if you squint, you had to squint to believe it was him. But and he plays it with his English sort of South London accent, which is obviously a choice that they made. And thank goodness they did, because to hear Jude Law pretending to be Russian would have been awful. But I thought it was very good. It just covers the, is sort of lightly fictionalized. It tells the story of this guy, I think his name is Baranov, played by Paul Dano brilliantly. And it's really the story of what has happened of the sort of post collapse of communism and how Putin came to power and how he has kept power and the rise and fall of the oligarchs. And I just thought it was very well done. And I enjoyed it and gave it 5 stars.
Yeah, Assayas is a great director. Yesterday I had an incredible revelation because I enjoyed the story, the movie, and I was thinking, but how close to the event the fact is this story? Because it looks like Assayas has a very clear picture of what happened in Russia and how Putin got the power. And I met his Ukrainian colleagues, and she was furious. She said that it's based on a real character, that there is a book about, and Israel, the best friend of Assayas, and he gave all the money to make this movie. And he's not dead. He lives in Russia and is well protected by the Russian government. He cannot go abroad because he just cannot go abroad. So she was furious, and she said, I will invite her one day here, but it's incredible, because she said he's the reason of the war in Ukraine. He's the one that started. I started to believe, wow, this is another movie. And maybe it's the next chapter. And so it's not dead, it's alive. The other one is that is in...
No spoilers, Rita, no spoilers.
No spoiler, no spoiler. But the other one is the one that was killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is in the in the movie. He lives in France, in the French Riviera.
Right.
Well, maybe shouldn't forget.
Yeah.
If we talk like that, we shouldn't forget how Zelensky got into power by money from some businessman and a very, very expensive campaign that made him president. So, no, I mean, this story should be seen as an aesthetical question. Is this a good film or not? And I had a feeling like watching a television show, like binge watching one chapter after the other. So what my only complaint about this film, which I think is very good, is that it doesn't have a true satisfactory cinematic development. Mm. Yeah, like a climax, and we are satisfied leaving the film. But the good message about it, the important message, is that it's all about power, and Putin will never stop this war because it will keep him in power. And that's a very dark, sincere message that the Ukrainian should be happy to hear, because this is actually the message. Yeah, if Putin goes on, it will go on forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like, cinematically, I was a bit disappointed. Like, Assayas is a very good visualist when he wants to, and this movie is more talky than visually inventive. I think it overstays its welcome a tiny bit. It's 2.5 hours long, and it doesn't necessarily need to be that long. But, I mean, the message is very important, and the cast is uniformly great. And yeah, Jude Law as Putin is one of the scariest things I've seen this year.
Okay, so wonderful. Thank you very much for being here today. We have only the last game that we play at the end of the festival. So we have two movies that now we have. This is you made the third title. We have two movies that are in pole position and are no other choice. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
What?
No other choice. The movie.
I haven't seen it.
Huh? You haven't seen it. Okay. Thumbs up. La Grazia. Oh, wow.
Diane, yeah.
Oh, wow. So La Grazia goes down, No Other Choice goes up, and House of Dynamite is in the pole position now. In pole position.
Pole position.
Pole position. Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much, to see you very soon. Bye.
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 Fred. 24/7 on Fred FM and smartphone app.